What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua at the William Arbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
You know, I just wanted to start it off. This week has been already a very interesting week. We saw the beginning of Raw, and we saw Roman get over as a babyface. We thought,
Until Brock kept on coming back.
Yeah, and Brock came back, and then they started chanting, "You deserve it." But for the most part, he got sympathy. And we're like, maybe this could eventually work. Maybe Roman can get to being that top babyface. And then you get to SmackDown, and then you see the top babyface in the company. And it's... I feel a little bad for Roman. Like that much bad. And then the rest of me is very happy. So, yeah. I guess you can lay out all the facts, because I'm not going to lay out all the facts. You go ahead. Just go.
So just more or less, like he was saying, he went to a bunch of different surgeons, and, as seen on Total Bellas, the first season, Brian went into a deep depression, not being able to have wrestling in his life. I don't know if suicidal thoughts ever came to mind, but he had definitely been struggling a lot with mental health and with depression after losing it in the ring. And obviously, like he talked about in the speech, Brie was a big part of that, and obviously having his daughter was a big part of that as well. But Brian had gone into a deep depression, losing the thing that he loved the most, and Brie encouraged him to keep on fighting and get other sources to try. So he did this, what's the tank thing called? Cryotherapy?
I believe.
What's the thing he's done with his brain? The water, the tank that he went to? It was cryotherapy, I believe.
I believe so, but I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah. So he tried that, and he went to these other neurosurgeons and kept on going at it and trying at it and trying at it. And then, he got cleared by another doctor and by another doctor, and he finally said, "Hey, WWE, I would really like one more chance to have a chance at this." And they gave him one more look, and Dr. Maroon cleared him, and here we are.
Well, I think the big thing is Brian was going to wrestle regardless. We've had conversations.
Yes, we thought it wouldn't be till next year, though.
Yeah, in Wrestle Kingdom, in a Tokyo Dome, but...
Yeah.
Like... We don't know what he's going to do when his contract's up during September, but right now, in this moment, just recording this after Tuesday night, SmackDown went off the air, it's you'd be remiss to think that WWE's going to let him go and he'll leave. I think he's going to stick around. I don't see him working the heavy, 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 heavy schedule that most of these guys do. But I think that he's going to be a key asset for this company. You remember when there was that little bit of speculation that maybe WWE is keeping Brian out on purpose because they don't want to deal with his popularity and what that could mean for the company and what that could mean for Roman and other guys that they want to really push.
Yeah.
I think that kind of falls out the window because,
he had a line that I really kind of knocked that all out when he said, "They looked at me as a person, not as a performer." And they could have very easily looked at this guy and been like, "This guy's going to be one of the guys that's going to make us the most money." And they generally didn't look at him like that.
No. Which is crazy because this is the wrestling three ring circus where guys get chewed up and spit out and you just use guys and then you move on to the next guy, but they didn't use Brian. They didn't use him for 2 years, and I like what they've done. I like the end of SmackDown. I like what they've done with Sammy and Kevin, because those two now have heat on them. They're very much the bad guys in this scenario. Brian's obviously going to get the pinfall victory at WrestleMania in that tag team match. I think it's pretty safe to say that's where we're headed.
Yeah, I think that's kind of... they kind of teased a little bit of maybe something with him and Ziggler, But I think that's down the road. And Ziggler won in that singles run at Mania. Well, he's going to have to wait another year.
Yeah. While he's on a contract, they can do it. I think that this
Oh, by the way, Shane McMahon just put out a tweet. We should say that really quickly. On the night that should have been one of Daniel Bryan's finest, Sammy and KO proved they are vile, spineless cowards. Neither of them belong in WWE at SmackDown Live. I just hope this didn't set back Daniel Bryan's in-ring return even further.
No, because Bryan, the fact that he didn't even, he just had to look at the WrestleMania sign and the crowd was chanting, WrestleMania, WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's always just part, and KO just tweeted too, saying hashtag fight for your dreams.
Yeah, they're going at Mania, so.
Yeah, so that's done.
How did you feel about the Helluva kick that he took?
You and I talked about it. It's the first, we're like, well, they'll probably take it easy on him. And no, it's like Flair, we were talking about when Flair, like, well, Flair won't do that much. And then Flair just did a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But we also talked about watching hockey players that had taken big hits in the past, like a Paul Kariya or an Eric Lindros, and watching them come back in the ice and how you thought about that, or, you know, past football players like Russell Wilson when he came back in and he went through the concussion protocol and came back on. The time he takes that big hit or anything, you're going to be a little cringy. The Helluva kick was the first big real shot to the head. Obviously, Sammy gave him a few punches to the head. But really, I just kind of got caught in the mood of everything and Brian's comeback and him doing those side kicks and the yes kicks, that none of it really fazed me. I was just excited and caught up in the energy of Brian.
Yeah. It and the energy from, like, there's very few, like, I think KO had said it, and there are a bunch of people that have said it, that wrestling's just a series of moments.
Mm-hmm.
That 5 minutes in SmackDown, the end 5 minutes from when he got assaulted to the kicks to the pop-up powerbomb was a moment. And you got the feeling that there were a bunch of people in that front row that could have jumped that barricade. With just how much energy and electricity was in this ring, you don't get that often.
I've seen a few complaints online too. It's like, why did no one come down to save him? I'm like, I don't know if those are people that still think it's not a work or what the situation is, but it's all part of the storyline.
Yeah. And Brian got beat up by these two. And it's the end of SmackDown. Most guys are leaving. So
Yeah.
Whatchamacallit.
I would have loved the scene, and I don't know if this happened at the end of the Mixed Match Challenge. If he was getting rolled out, well, Miz was coming out for the Mixed Match Challenge. Oh. That I don't know. I haven't seen anything on that at all.
No, but I'd be interested to know that.
So that would have been the smart move if they had done that.
Now, we've got so many dream matches that we can go through. I don't want to get too hooked in yet.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it where Brian's back. All right, we can get going again. And it's always kind of been derailed. I think the more or less, you pointed this out, the 4 years away from professional wrestling has probably done him some good.
Yeah, I mean, this is the guy when he had the shoulder injury, I believe it was on his left side or his right side, whatever it says, he wanted to dedicate the entire other side of his body to wrestle with that. This is a one-armed man if he had to.
Yeah.
Also, so this is the guy that is very conscious of his body and knows how to use his body as a weapon.
Oh, so, some of those kicks that he was throwing tonight?
Yeah. Well, it's funny, just all this time that we've had Miz doing the it kicks, and it's like, we knew that they weren't the best in the world, but it was still pretty crazy to see Brian do his kicks and be like, all right, Miz's kicks are not good at all.
Yeah. That's the match that you got to get to eventually. If I'm fantasy booking, I don't want to get too far down, but would you give Miz Money in the Bank, have Brian eventually win the WWE title on SmackDown, and have Miz cash in?
On Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's a terrible idea. I mean, yeah, we don't want to jump all over the place. Let's let's get back to SmackDown stuff in a second, then we'll go back to the Dream Match stuff, because I felt like I had to realize the Mixed Match Challenge. So as far as the beatdown goes and everything, and the speech too is just another great speech by Brian. It warmed the heart. Seeing the comeback got you excited for it, and I think you pointed this out to me before the show, just the overness. It was almost an Austin level from the moment he came down for the speech, and then during his comeback, they just don't have anyone on the roster. I think the closest person to having that kind of feel right now in the main roster is Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Roman's not. Because Roman's still going to get that mixed reaction. There are some people that are still going to look at Roman and go, eh, I'm not buying into Roman. He's not a good wrestler. He's not a good promo. Don't like Roman. Don't like Roman. Don't like Roman.
Yeah.
So he's always going to be. That's what he has to deal with. I mean, this is a situation now where Vince has got to see that and hear that. That's got to be something that gets into Vince's ear right away. And he's got to feel that. And the people in that arena backstage, whoever Vince's new set of stooges is backstage, had to see and feel that. And go, what shall we do? And, I mean, it's good for Sammy. This is good business for everyone right now. And as long as Daniel Bryan does not do a diving headbutt, we're good.
He probably won't do the diving headbutt, but I can see the suicide dive, which I'm a little concerned about the first time I see that. But it's the excitement of just seeing him do what he does again, and there's just not many people on that roster that just get it the way that he does. I think Seth Rollins at All Pinnacles could get it, and I guess it couldn't help but figure, you know, we've had some big unfortunate retirements, and it's just like, man, I wish this could be Tyson Kidd, who sent out an awesome tweet. And then you think about Paige, and then I think about Edge. And I mean, Christian's a name that comes to mind as well that had concussions. And I wonder if Christian will talk about this on E&C this week.
I'm very interested, because this is a catalyst for, I honestly don't know what, for sports.
We've had concussion stuff in the NFL. We've never fully trusted it, right? I mean, we just saw for the Montreal Canadiens, Carey Price has been out for about a month.
He's back.
And he's back tomorrow. And there's a lot of people saying, like, well, why did he need to come back? Our season's over. There's only about 10 games left in our season. And we're not – what's the point of bringing Carey Price back when he signed this big contract and everything like that? And, yes, he was out for a month, and Daniel Bryan was out for 2 years. But it's still very interesting to see how athletics compared to the sport of wrestling takes it in. Chris Nowitzki sounded off on this and said he was very happy. And it sounds like Nowitzki knows the neurosurgeons and everyone that passed him. And he's a guy that I kind of look for a template of concussion protocol. Because, I mean, if you looked at the NFL playoffs and the Cam Newton one, and I believe Tyrod Taylor had one, Nowitzki's at the top of the line of calling out bullshit on the NFL. And for the most part, he seemed to think that WWE did the right thing with this. And I believe Hunter works with Nowitzki in some matters as well.
Yeah, and that's where it kind of falls into question, some of his opinions, because if he's working with Hunter, then, you know, the corporate side of things, I think for me the biggest thing is all these doctors kept saying yes.
Yeah.
And I think at a certain point where all these doctors say yes and that information is relayed to WWE. At a certain point, when you have everyone saying yes, it means the fans get to say yes again. It's still tepid and still going to be very intriguing to see how this all ultimately plays out. Concussions are something that we don't understand still fully.
No.
We still don't understand the brain. We live in a world where that's probably 10, 15 years now, we might look at what has happened and go, that was the dumbest thing to let him back. But that's purely based on science that we don't have, data we don't have yet. Science might go, yeah, no, he was fine. It's all good. I don't know what the next 5, 10 years bring for concussions and brain research. We know that is a big thing for sports. We know that the NFL is weak on concussions. We know the NHL is weak on concussions.
The weakest one is Wilson going in that tent and then coming back out of the tent and it was just a joke. Same with Cam Newton in the same situation.
We know that at different points we've seen that concussions are not taken as seriously as they could. I mean, WWE used to use them as a storyline. A guy would have a concussion, and that would be part of a storyline. He got hit in the head with a chair. He has a concussion, but he's still out here. That was a storyline. That was integrated into wrestling. And I think we just all kind of got used to that, and then we learned very quickly that that's not the case. You talk about everything that's kind of come with this. I never thought he would wrestle again, in WWE at least. I was very much convinced that he would never wrestle in WWE again.
I think it's a seizure thing that caught us off guard too, and I'm still worried about that, and I've seen some people like, lesions don't leave the brain.
Yeah.
And that's a part where I still have some concerns. But again, you and I aren't well-versed as obviously these doctors, and they saw enough to let him compete in a wrestling arena again.
Yeah, and those
seizures and those lesions still worry me.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think Brian's going to be taking a lot of offense to the head. I think most people are smart enough to know not to do that to him.
Yeah.
So I'm not. It'll be like Sean in the back. You always kind of cringed with Sean in the back. The comparisons between him and Sean and Punk and Brett are just, they just continually run deep. And it's fascinating to watch.
It is, yeah.
That this play out. But, I mean, the biggest thing with Daniel Bryan is, this isn't something I think would happen. Still, when he comes out with his gear, WrestleMania, I assume that's where it's going to happen. I feel that's a safe guess. This is the biggest match. I argue that this is the biggest match at WrestleMania now, based on just the reaction today from Twitter and social media and news outlets and everything about him. His story is well known across the board. And yes, Ronda's going to have a draw. Kurt's going to have a draw. This is Kurt's first WrestleMania since WrestleMania 22, is it?
Yeah, Brock obviously is always a draw because he's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, Brock and Roman is a draw. Cena's still a draw. Cena and Taker.
AJ Nark.
Shinsuke and AJ, yeah, there's a lot. But I think this is now because, and one of the reasons I say this is because of how late in the game this has happened. This is the freshest thing in everyone's mind heading into WrestleMania. Is Daniel Bryan? Is his return match? The Ronda and everything has kind of settled. The Brock thing has settled. The AJ Nock has settled. All of this has kind of, the ripple effect of the announcement has settled and the waters have calmed. And this is the last thing in the pond, and that ripple is going to reach out to wrestling fans. And this is going to be a big draw for both normal fans and casual fans, partly because of Shane. Shane will draw in casual fans into this match, but all eyes are going to be on Daniel Bryan and what he does in the ring. How much does he do? Where does he go? What moves does he use? What moves does he not use? Does he get the pinfall win? Does Sami and KO get the win? This match has the most intrigue and the most interest with heading into WrestleMania. Because this is, like I said, this is the last thing in. And then we know every other match pretty much on this card. We did not think this would happen. And there was a report yesterday saying that Bryan turned WWE down doing a limited match with Shane because that's not what he wanted. So that pretty much put a nail in the coffin for it for me. So we are getting something that was perceived as downright impossible. I thought he was wrestling Cody and Okada next year. Now, I don't know. I think he's going to stay with WWE. I think that seems to be the smart money.
I think he believes in his mind of minds and his hearts of hearts that he owes them a debt of gratitude for keeping him employed and looking at him as a person. And I think what the Bella brand is on that, because that still comes into a factor, right? He's kind of part of a wrestling, the new wrestling family. I don't know if you want to call it the Bella brand or what it is, but of the Bellas and Cena and him and then Laurinaitis, they're kind of the new wrestling family of this decade.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna sway one way or another on that.
What I guess I'm saying is he has a lot of, with his wife having ties to the WWE, with his brother-in-law being the biggest star maybe in the company's history, I'd find it hard for to see him in the Tokyo Dome now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I, like you said, he owes gratitude.
Yeah.
And
I guess, is that a match we could see down the road, too? Could we see the brother-in-laws go at it?
I think that's definitely a possibility.
But we see a match with the Bella in each corner versus Cena and Bryan. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities.
No, not at all. And I think Bryan is going to enjoy every moment. Every single time he steps out there, I think he's going to savor it that much more. I certainly hope he works a bit of a better, safer style, I should say.
I think he will. I think you see those high spots, like those kicks and the other kicks that we saw today, but I think, now, this guy's had 2 years to think about how else he would wrestle, and we'll see that. What a better two guys to go in the ring against than Sammy and KO.
Yeah, I think those are two guys that I think you could probably trust a little bit more going in the ring. It's going to be very interesting. I mean, now everyone's going to be clamoring for AJ. Everyone's going to be clamoring for Knock. We thought AJ was hurt, but as it's been said, AJ's well enough to go. They're definitely taking it safe with AJ Styles, which I'm perfectly fine with. I think that's
He didn't seem to be walking with a limp when he was walking backstage, so
yeah,
take that for what it is, right?
Yeah. So. But like he said on a radio, he'd have to have his leg cut off, and he'd still hobble to Mania. So
yeah,
the guy's not going to be stopped. I wonder if he takes a little bit of time to heal after Mania.
Could be. Kind of like what Punk did after he faced Undertaker.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be nearly as long. I think it'll be maybe a month, maybe a month and a half. He'll get drafted to SmackDown, and he'll just try and take some time to heal, and then he'll pop up.
Yes.
The smart thing is to keep Bryan on SmackDown. That just seems to be the best call to...
Yeah, how do you think we're going to get out of him being a GM?
It's just going to be he can wrestle now, so it's going to be like, okay, well, you're going to want to...
So much like what Shane and Kurt have then, and you think he's still the GM?
Maybe, but I think he's going to be wrestling a bit more than Kurt.
Right.
But
do you think he stays the GM when he wrestles, or do you think he resigns, or he's just the GM and then he wrestles as well?
I think he'll resign. I think he'll move on to the next thing.
Right.
Which is fine, because I think that's the smart thing to do. Whatchamacallit. This is going to be very fascinating how this plays out. This is something that is going to draw a lot of people in. And I think that's another thing that we're going to see is the rating bump.
Very interested to see what the ratings are for this opening of Raw, just because of all the buzz and how this was trending number one in the world today, and just the input that, you know, everyone was very excited about it all.
Yeah, this was must-see TV. This is going to be interesting because this now we live in a world where Daniel Bryan can wrestle. That's what we know is going on right now. 100% we know Bryan can wrestle. There's no longer this question of, well, maybe they'll clear him now, they'll never clear him. We live in a world where he's cleared now. So buckle up, because it's going to be a fun ride the next little bit. And wherever it goes, I think fans are going to follow.
They are. Anything else you want to talk about in this segment, or should we move on?
No. I think I'm quite content.
So, really quickly, let's talk about the next big thing, and maybe we'll talk about Brian's stuff later after, I don't know, but the Raw ratings came in, and it's not good for Matt Hardy.
Did the ratings drop?
Oh, yeah. By almost 400,000.
Oh, well... They tried it. That's the big thing. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, but you know, this is where this is one of those things that it's not for everyone, and that's just kind of the way it is. People are going to like whatever they're going to like, and they don't like the Ultimate Deletion, that's okay. If I like the Ultimate Deletion and you didn't, that's fine. If you like the Ultimate Deletion and I didn't, then that's fine as well. It's one of those things. Does this hurt the chance of another Ultimate Deletion? Yeah, it does. But
here's the thing, though, too, that they need to pay attention to.
This is the biggest thing with this is this was an idea created in TNA, which we both know what TNA is. It has improved since. This was a wacky idea that no one really knew what was up with it. And this is the blood, sweat, and tears of Matt Hardy. This is the blood, sweat, and tears of Rebby. This is blood, sweat, and tears of that Hardy compound. Everyone involved plays a role in that being what it was heading into WWE. And no one thought it was going to ever happen in WWE. I think we all kind of wrote it off after a certain point. And just through Matt Hardy's persistence, he fought for his dreams and his dreams fought for him. And, you know, all in all, this is a victory for Matt Hardy. And I think this is a victory for pro wrestling in general, because this is a guy that fought for this and it worked for him and he got his moment. And that's something that you can never take away. We will always know that you can go on the WWE Network in a few weeks in Canada and in the US, and you can watch The Ultimate Deletion, which is really crazy to think.
Well, so regardless two interesting things about... Oh, go ahead.
Regardless about the ratings or fan reaction, which has been mixed, he's accomplished something. So, I mean, you look at it as, yes, this company will probably move on from this, and this will be it. I'm not naive enough to think that Vince will continually be like, nope, we're just going to keep going. Then again, this is a company that does like to push things, even when some fans don't like it. So, that being said, that to me is what the Ultimate Deletion represents, is a creative guy trying something new.
So, interesting things on it so far is, number one, news outlets and internet sites that normally don't cover wrestling, like the Nerdist, picking up the story about it and saying how much they loved it, just going on checking out the hits. It has 1.7 million on YouTube for the Ultimate Deletion. The highest thing from Raw as far as YouTube hits go, what do you think the highest thing from Raw was?
I'm going to say it's the Brock and Roman.
Yeah, it was John Cena and Kane. 2.1 million for that. Actually, well, 2.1 million. Technically, the most watched thing was Ronda and Dana after Raw went off the air with 3.7.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's. I was going to say it was going to either be Ronda or it was going to be. What's that other thing? Brock Lesnar. It was going to be one or the other.
Now, the super interesting thing is Hulu, which does air Raw on it, they have to cut things out to fit into the time limit that Hulu gives Raw. Ultimate Deletion was not on the Hulu version. So take that for what you want to take it as. Well, and the comments by Michael Cole beforehand, maybe that was something to have to do with that as well and what they thought about it before it even aired.
Yeah, because I wonder how much – like. Obviously, I think Borash was involved in this. And obviously, WWE's production was involved in this. I don't think it's going to be something that's going to happen over and over and over and over again. I think we may see another one of these down the line.
I would say I'm going to place my bets as, and hedge them and say that we see another one, because I also look at it and see maybe the ratings drop, but the third hour is always iffy, right?
Yeah.
And I could see it too of people didn't know what it was, and then some people saw it, and then it spreads on the internet, and then it comes up. But losing 400,000 followers, I mean, viewers, that's a big loss there. That is just not a nice number of people to lose.
No, and that... In a company that's based on sponsorship and viewership, and a company that could eventually go to Fox, and where it goes down to 2 hours, where you got to be very selective of what you're filling your 2 hours with, this could change. I guess my question to you is, do you think this would have been more beneficial if this came out on YouTube?
Maybe it would have. Because it could have been like an internet sensation. And I mean, the live crowd didn't even get to see it. They saw that Ronda segment with Dana Brooke, and then they saw a match with Elias and Strowman. So the live crowd didn't even see it. And you and I were curious, after they butchered what they did with Raw with the Manhattan Center, how would they handle it? And I mean, you go around today, and yeah, from fans' perspective of hardcore wrestling fans, it's a little bit mixed. Some people wanted more cameos, some of the more of the silliness of TNA, but it's caught a, like I said, being captured by sites like the Nerdist that never talk about wrestling, it has captured some of the mainstream's attention. It was the number one overall trend worldwide last night and early into this morning. So that's something that WWE will put into effect too. They love their trends, right?
Yeah.
So that's something they're going to have to put into effect as well. So I'm interested to see what they do with it, because it at the very least, Matt got to bring his creative vision to Monday Night Raw to one of the major broadcasters in the United States on the USA channel, and up here in Canada on Sportsnet 360, and in England on Sky. Sorry, I don't know where the rest of the world broadcast. And got to have his vision. So at the very least, if you got to do it once, that's fantastic. And he still owns the rights to all of it. So it's a win-win for Matt Hardy.
So if he goes on the indies, then he can just do this, and it's
yep,
easy.
Yep, he owns all the rights to it.
So, yeah, it's WWE really had nothing to overly lose in trying this. This is a nice, smart gamble for them to do.
I could see maybe putting him on SmackDown and then doing more on SmackDown.
Yeah.
That would make a little bit more sense, because you can take that half an hour of SmackDown and just put it on there, especially with the time so tight on there. Maybe you don't want to do it again on Raw. So I could very easily see Matt and Jeff will go to SmackDown after the Superstar Shakeup.
Yeah. Yeah. All in all, I think we can agree that's the best Bray's looked in a long time.
He looked great. He stopped the mower of lawns. And
Wheel of Chairs.
And I think the best part about it is that he's going to get a reboot of his character. Will he be part of the Woken universe and team with the Hardys, or will he come back completely different? Either way, I think it's the right direction for the Bray Wyatt character. Now, will we see it next week? Who knows? I'd almost just like to see him come back just like a normal guy, just like with a suit on, and just like, and even if he says like, blank Rotunda. How's everyone doing? And then everyone just kind of curious, like, you Bray Wyatt. He's like, oh no, I'm blank Rotunda. I'm here to work. Just kind of act like just a normal person and not like this cult leader. I think that would be very interesting if he had that taken away.
I'd almost want him to come out and being the I'd want him to come out and be just the cult leader. Strip him of the being thrown in the lake, stripped him of all his mystic powers, and now he's
right.
All he has is his words.
That's not bad either.
Build from there.
It's not bad either. I think we'll find out. I mean, again, that's a huge rating to lose, so it does concern me as far as that, but I enjoyed it. Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez seemed to enjoy it. Obviously, the expectations for what TNA had were so much higher because of the cameos from like Shane Helms and the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, sorry. So those expectations were put a little bit higher. This is the first example of it, and it's getting mixed reviews. It trended on Twitter. It depends if they want more. Do they care about those trends on Twitter more, which they always like to hype, or do they care about what the ratings were? With the Fox deal, like you brought up, it's interesting. It being off of Hulu, though, does that not really intrigue you?
Yes. Yes, it does.
That's a very interesting thing, because they hype that up all shows. So that means, I guess, if you're watching it on Hulu, all the George Washington with the giraffe stuff and all that is completely cut out of the show. And then I guess, what does Raw end on then? The Ronda piece?
I guess so. Or they insert what happened with Ronda and Dana Brooke.
You know what I'm going to do? And you're going to keep on talking. I'm actually going to go into Hulu and I'm going to see what they ended Raw with. We're going to move on. But, so the Superstar Shakeup just finished, and obviously Miz and Asuka won. I don't know who got the pin. And next week will be the Robe Warriors. And they will be taking on the second chance entry, who won by the fan vote. Who do you think won that, or have you already seen?
I've already seen. It's Finn and Sasha.
So face Finn and Sasha. And again, doesn't really matter who wins this because Miz and Asuka have to win because Asuka's undefeated streak is on the line. So that kind of just ruins everything.
Josh, can we also talk about Tyler Black and Prince
Nevitt? Prince Nevitt.
That was great. That was great. Just, and you can play it off as like, the Miz doesn't have time to watch New Japan. What does he care if he's Prince Devitt or Prince Nevitt?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter because the Miz has a is very busy, important A-list celebrity. So of course he's going to get a name mixed up because it doesn't matter to him. All that matters is that Intercontinental Championship that he's going to carry into WrestleMania.
It was a nice line. I love the bingo holes that Prince Devitt wrestled in.
Yes.
Those Tokyo Dome and Carnegie Hall and Sumo Hall. Those are some bingo halls, man.
Yeah. B-I-N-G-O. Yeah. I was wrestling in them, so.
Yeah. But no, that was a very good promo by The Miz. It just kind of, you know, it all lines up that it's just been a very good build for. I mean, everything could have a little bit of a bitter build, but you and I were saying, like, I don't remember being this excited for a Mania. Like, the card, just really quickly looking at it before, and we'll recap the rest of the week really quick here, but I want to talk about the opening segment here, but the Brock and Roman match should be a good match. AJ and Nock, obviously a dream match. That triple threat, I think that's going to be a surprise to a lot of people that steal the show. Randy, Bobby, and Jinder, probably not going to be good, but Bobby Roode and Randy was good, so maybe they'll lift up Jinder. Bliss and Nia, I don't think it'll be a good match, but I think they've done a good job of telling the story there.
Yeah.
Charlotte and Asuka, I like what they did today, teasing the Carmella cash-in, so that's an added element to the entire show now. We have Cesaro and Sheamus versus Braun and TBA. So don't know who that is yet. It's either going to be Samoa Joe, Elias, or sounds like maybe Big Cass now. Cedric versus either Mustafa Ali or Drew Gulak. The tag with Kurt and Ronda and Hunter and Steph. And then the two battle royals, and then the matches that aren't listed yet, obviously, we'll have Brian and Shane versus KO and Sammy, and then Cena versus Taker.
Yeah.
So 13 matches in total.
I think we got a good card heading into Mania.
There's not really a dud here. Like, I guess the piss break match would be Bliss and Nia.
Yeah. And even then, that build hasn't been terrible, so.
Okay, so what they did for Hulu. So they aired the Ronda pack, they aired the Ronda package, and they finished, they put the Miz match with the Bullet Club. They put that as the final match.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
Hey, it's their company. They're entitled to make some choices. I'm a little surprised that they didn't include that. I think that would be actually a good spot to have it on, so
I think it would have added so they kept the Mark Henry Hall of Fame thing in here. Strowman is in here. Cena, you think they kept the Absolution match in here? Cause they sure didn't.
Oh,
so Bailey and Sasha was also cut.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are the two things that were cut from Hulu. This is why I don't really watch on Hulu, because I know things are cut on it.
Yeah.
The Bayley and Sasha Absolution match was cut from Hulu, as well as the Ultimate Deletion. I guess, I mean, looking at this, I don't know really what else you really could have cut. I mean, I guess you could have cut the Strowman stuff, I guess, but you kind of needed that to further that, so I don't know. Tough to call.
Yeah, well... Hey, it can't be an easy job going through and deciding what to snip.
No.
I guess we got to get to, because I do want to hit on New Japan before we get out of here.
Right, let's go to New Japan, and we'll talk about Raw.
Let's go to Brock and
Roman. Let's talk about the last big story really quick here, and that's the Moolah stuff.
Yeah, we didn't get to touch on it. Yeah.
No, it's because it's been a crazy week.
Let's keep it simple.
Well, when your sponsor doesn't like when someone does shady things in the past, they'll tell you nix the name or you're out. And I know you haven't watched that 24 yet, but I did, and she was not anywhere in that 24 special. And simple as that. They seem that she's out. And I will say this. While Fabulous Moolah did some terrible things, I do think that she is still an important wrestler in the history of wrestling, and that we shouldn't totally edit her out as a wrestler, but we shouldn't be naming things after her in honor.
I don't know. This is one of those things that, because it was 316 day, and everyone wanted to bring up that Austin had beat up his wife, and he was a domestic abuser, and someone had posted on the Reddit, and I'd love to give them credit, I just don't remember their Reddit name, had brought up a point of, when you look at it, and you look at it objectively, and you look at it and you go, can you separate the two, as well as can you accept the apology that came from this person? So Austin apologized, Austin's been remorseful, and more or less has been kind of been given a, not a pass, but we've accepted his apology and moved on. Fabulous Moolah's not here to apologize. Fabulous Moolah passed away before any of this really came to the forefront. For most people, she's just a kooky grandmother.
Great.
So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't disagree with you, but it's also you got to look at it and you got to decide, is this, do you forgive Fabulous Moolah, or is this?
I don't think I forgive her. It's kind of the thing we go with Hogan, right? It's like, I don't want to name anything after Hogan by any means, much like I don't want to name after anything Warrior, and I don't like the Ultimate Warrior by any means, but he obviously has a place in the history of wrestling. It's hard, though, because Moolah obviously is one of the greater women wrestlers and did, as a female performer, break down boundaries for female performers. That can't be denied. It's everything else she did outside of the ring and pimping out females and turning a blind eye to performers looking to trade tricks with wrestlers that is disgusting.
Yeah.
And that overshadows who the person is. And that's a price you pay, and that's a price that Hulk Hogan is paying right now for all the terrible things that he said.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because, you know, Hulk Hogan is someone that should have a bigger name in the world of professional wrestling, much like Fabulous Moolah should. And Mae Young is kind of part of that too, but she seems to have escaped everything. Because I don't really remember being a big stink when the Mae Young Classic came up. I remember you saying something to me, it's like, oh, May was part of this and this, but nothing really happened.
I don't know.
It's always kind of been shady with what May did, right?
I don't know if May was involved in any way. So that's the thing where I don't want to comment on it because I have no idea if she had said anything or not.
Yeah, it's always kind of known maybe May knew stuff because of stuff with her and Moolah, but it's just we don't really know, right?
Yeah.
So it's weird. I think I would have liked them just to name it the Sherry Battle Royale instead of Moolah, but they're just going to go with the Women's Battle Royale. And, you know, when you have a sponsor like Snickers, then you got to abide by them. So there it is. Easy as that. And it was kind of surprising because we've seen WWE never really relent on situations like that. There's a lot of stuff that I just, in the past week, from the company that I'm surprised that I never thought I'd see. I never thought I would see Daniel Bryan be cleared again, and I never really thought that they would relent on something like Fabulous Moolah with how they have her in their minds.
Yeah.
Let's go to New Japan, and we'll let's talk about Brock and Roman. Man, Roman's wrist, damn.
Yeah, that's scary. I didn't like that. I didn't like that. Well, Josh, I guess, you know, I can guess why Vince broke the glass and finally relented for Daniel Bryan, because Roman Reigns is going to jail because he assaulted a U.S. Marshal.
Yeah, he did.
There's silliness with wrestling sometimes, and it's just like, I guess you just have to look past it. Except that it is what it is. What do you think of what they did with Brock and Roman and the chairs?
I thought it was Stone Cold Steve Austin 101.
Yeah.
I thought they did a good job of building up sympathy for Roman And then the more that he came back, it was very reminiscent of Braun. And you just kept on kind of hearing, I'm not finished with you. And the more that he did it, the more fans wanted to see a beatdown.
Yeah. So I think they ended, I think they could have ended a little bit sooner. But this now you want to see Roman fight Brock. That is the one thing that it did do. So, and that's what we're going to get at Mania. So I'm okay with it. It shows Brock as a heel, which is cool. And it's what it is what it is. I didn't like how badly beaten Roman's wrist look. That was uncomfortable. That to me screamed unsafe. And I mean, I get it. You're a wrestler. You're going to do some things that may be on that fringe line. And I think that was one of the cases of doing something on that fringe line.
Well, because just imagine if Roman takes one of those bumps the wrong way and he breaks his wrist.
Yeah. And AJ's hurt. We've covered that. But imagine if AJ and Roman are hurt heading into Mania and can't compete.
Exactly. And that's just, they're lucky they got out of it. But it could have been really bad. Like, yes. Really fast and really bad. And I'm glad that Roman's okay. Like, obviously, what he has in his wrist is unfortunate and terrible for him. But luckily, he didn't break a wrist or anything like that. Because I don't know what they would have done in that main event. I guess case of glass, put out Samoa Joe or Braun or bring Bobby Lashley and before he's supposed to be there. Because I'm assuming Bobby's coming the night after Mania.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they would have done. It's just like, okay, we're just going to bring Bobby in now. Luckily for them, they didn't have to get to that point just yet.
Yes, I agree. I'm excited for everything Mania-wise, so they've done a good job suckering me in.
Yeah, I think, like we talked about, that card, it's done a really good job. Even, like, the Bliss match and Nia isn't going to be the greatest match in the world, but I think the build-up to it, I'm completely fine as. You have a girl that's a bully and the girl that wants to get her back. And I thought Nia got a good pop when she came out.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, that's what you live for, is getting those reactions. And if you can start generating some of those, then you're successful. Then you're building towards something good.
And before we go to the New Japan Cup, interesting kind of Craw and Vince McMahon today, Charlie Ebersole is starting a rival football league. And he has a lot of things that Vince McMahon doesn't. Also, if you don't know, Charlie Ebersole is the son of Dick Ebersole. Charlie did the XFL 30 for 30, and Dick Ebersole, his father, helped start the XFL. Vince McMahon had a long-term agreement with the two of them with NBC Universal. And they're starting a rival football league starting next year, February 9th, and they already have games broadcast on CBS a year ahead of what the XFL is going to have. The XFL has no major broadcaster yet.
So, is that... I don't want to say it's a death blow, but is it a death blow to the XFL?
It definitely hurts it. Because you have... Vince McMahon is going to be... was always kind of, in a way, a part that hurt the XFL, right? And you have Charlie Ebersole, who's a respected filmmaker. His father is one of the greatest minds in bringing sports to network television ever. And you're going to a network in CBS that does a very good job of running the Masters, March Madness, and the NFL.
That's big. That's a big deal. That's not something to tread lightly on.
And the fact that they are going to start on February 9th next year will be the week after the Super Bowl. And they're going to have a 10-week season, 8 teams. See, they already have the amount of teams they're going to have. They were releasing a schedule in a month's time, about 5 weeks, April 26th. And, yeah, so this is interesting, the fact that they can't have two football leagues like this survive after the NFL. They just can't.
No, and I don't think they would. One's going to die.
The XFL has the name. The Ebersoles have the respect.
I don't think this is going to play out well for Vince.
I don't think so either. I think if he was smart now, he put that money into Alpha Entertainment. I don't know how much more he's put into the XFL. the thing is, Vince McMahon is not a man that's going to quit. So he's going to go for it. I just don't know. I don't think this football league is going to work in itself either. Let me be clear. I don't think this is going to work at all. But I think the XFL had a better chance just having the name at the very least.
Yeah.
And now having another secondary league, that's going to be a lot better of a chance to get the Johnny Manziels and the Colin Kaepernicks. It's the star power is definitely going to be dwindled down. Like, where is the stars going to go now, right? Or their stars are going to wait a whole other year and then just go to the XFL. And what if this fails the year one? And then are people from that league just like, well, this failed, at least I'll go to the XFL. Or is America's appetite for a second football league after seeing Charlie Ebersol's league fall apart going to be done?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going that need to play out to see how it plays out, but this is one of those things that are like third on my list of things that are big news.
Yeah, I just thought we'd slip it in. It's just interesting as we get near WrestleMania and everything good for the WWE. I also kind of find it a little shady of Charlie Ebersol to do this with the friendship that he made with the McMahons and then do his own football league. I don't know. Do you find it a little wormy of him? I think at least that's how Vince is probably thinking right now.
Yeah, this is Ted Turner all over again.
Yeah.
And you know how Vince performs when he has to deal with someone like Ted Turner.
Quick note on Charlie Ebersol. He also dated Mary Shapova and Britney Spears.
Oh, right.
So he's living an okay life, Charlie Ebersol.
No, things aren't bad for him.
So he obviously has some power, some pull, and I think the big thing for them is getting CBS, which is a respected network, and they know sports. Like I said, they are the masters, football, and March Madness, and they have great, like, my other question for this is, and then we'll get on to wrestling, is do you get a Jim Nantz with something like this, one of the most respected broadcasters?
Yeah.
Is that a game changer? Like, someone like Jim Nantz.
It's totally possible.
So that's the interesting thing, is you get all those guys from CBS. You did such a great job covering the NFL. Are they going to bring them over? Where Vince is still struggling for a television station for the rights. And my last question for you for this is, let's say that Vince now looks at this. Does this make Vince want to do the Fox deal more than ever and talk to Fox? If you take it, you need to take the football league?
Maybe that's one of the – it's entirely possible.
Right. Also on right now, we have the last of the Cruiserweight Classic, and Gulak and Ali are having a great match. I'll just leave it at that. But let's talk about the New Japan Cup. This is all you, Joel. Take it away.
So New Japan Cup, spoilers, if you don't want to be spoiled, I don't know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It's Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr. Zack Sabre Jr. is looking to defeat all the hunks in New Japan, as he's put it. He defeated Ibushi and he defeated Sandra in spiderweb octopus-like submissions. I don't know the proper names, so I'm not going to try, but the guy is wrapping guys up like pretzels and making them tap out, and Tanahashi is coming off of an injury inflicted by just years of abuse and Suzuki
held together by duct tape and hairspray.
Yeah, and now will he get one more air guitar in and get a high fly flow in, or will Zack Sabre Jr. submit him? I'm not sure. But the big thing with this is if Tanahashi goes in. From what I understand for Okada currently has a record reign going on right now. He is very much heading along to setting all sorts of records for the company. He is the current longest reigning IWGP heavyweight champion. I don't know if that's all time. Let me actually take a look. Yes, he is. He is the longest reigning IWGP heavyweight champion since that title's inception. He has had 4 reigns total. He has 10 successful title defenses. And Josh, who has the number 11 successful title defenses?
All time?
Yep.
Is it a retired wrestler or a current wrestler?
Current wrestler. It ties into the story for the New Japan Cup.
I'd say Tanahashi.
Yep. So if Tanahashi wins the New Japan Cup, he can stop Okada from tying his record. So within itself is a story, and Zack Sabre Jr. has risen up and shot up and has proven that he could challenge Okada, and I think it'd be a really good match. It's been a while since Tanahashi and Okada has had a match. I believe that the last time the two of them wrestled, it was in the G1, and it went to a draw where Tanahashi was this close to beating him.
Yeah, I remember that.
There's
a really good draw.
There's a lot of threads to be pulled on, but the other thing that could happen is Zach could win it, and Zach can challenge for the Intercontinental title or the never weight is singles title, except for the juniors, from my understanding. So he could challenge his leader in Suzuki-Gun. So
right.
There's a lot of threads that could be pulled on. Again, it shows why Gedo and New Japan is the best pro wrestling company in the world right now, with how they've booked and pieced things together and the stories they've got going.
And we all know what happened with the New Japan Cup winner last year.
Oh boy, let's not repeat that, please. Just
yeah,
no more. Also, quickly, I guess we'll end things on a bit of a indie note as well. Being the Elite, we've now learned how Cody has turned the Bucks kind of against the Golden Lovers.
He's got some good Adobe skills.
Yeah, he's tapping away on those keyboards, so he's dragging and dropping and cutting out different little segments. So was it Slick Nick's laptop?
Yeah.
So Slick Nick better be careful where he leaves his laptop. This is going to be interesting. You can definitely see that they're definitely teasing a lot of dissension between Kenny and the Bucks. And I do think that the Bucks do turn on the director, the leader. I love when he's got his headset on. Okay, ready, camera one, take camera one. His little puppet master type ways of things. I do think the Bucks do turn on Cody eventually, because he even wants the Bucks to split up and become singles wrestlers. So
yeah.
He's just an evil genius.
It's still one of the best shows on television, on YouTube or wherever. It does such a good job of storytelling. It was your show of the year, and I think you proved why it should have been that, as it continues the build to, I mean, that Saturday before Mania. Don't get me wrong, NXT has a great build going, but that Cody and that Kenny match is going to be really fun.
Yeah, there's that weekend's going to be nuts. New
Orleans and Dalton Castle versus Marty, which I don't think enough people are talking about.
What happens? What does Cody do if Marty has the title?
And that's where I think you should go. Dalton Castle, I'm happy that he got the title. I think he's a great talent. And I don't watch, I guess, not enough ROH, but it doesn't really, hasn't really hit with me.
I think they kind of, I can't speak on it too much, so I won't, but I wonder if they've kind of missed the right time to put the title on Castle, because he was white.
Kind of like WWE when they did the stuff with Del Rio, they never hit the right time with Del Rio.
Yeah.
I think they kind of missed with when the right time was with Dalton Castle.
Yeah, but, I mean, who knows? This could be the match that starts building him up. Well, we will honestly wait and see, but New Orleans, the place to be.
Yeah, and I want to, the last story I want to talk about is the new Hall of Fame inductee, Mark Henry.
Well, when he offers to Lance Storm to be there to answer the doors when his daughter brings guys over, he seems like a stand-up guy.
Yeah, he deserves it. Mark, it's funny with him, man. He didn't really hit his stride until late into his career. I mean, the sexual chocolate stuff was fun, but he, during that Hall of Pain stuff, he really became just a great guy, a great talent. It's funny, you look at that Daniel Bryan 24, which I may watch tonight, and they remember the gifts and the photoshops they had of Bryan with the salmon jacket on.
Yeah,
it was pretty funny. I guess the big question is, who do you want to induct Mark Henry?
I don't know, that's a tricky question. There's definitely a number of different names that you could go with, but
I think we'd all like to see D'Lo, because it's been a while since we've seen D'Lo. I mean, The Rock would be awesome. but I don't think we're going to get The Rock. So I could see D'Lo. I could see Godfather, Farouk. I think it'll be some kind of Nation member. I could also see Randy Orton or Big Show as well.
Yeah.
Just because they're his greatest rivals in that side. And also, he has to wear the Salmon Jacket when he retires, right?
Yes.
For the Hall of Fame. He has to. Like, we'll be disappointed if he doesn't wear the Salmon Jacket.
That's a must.
Yeah, that's a must. So there you go. Daniel Bryan returns today. AJ Styles seems like he's okay. And, last thing, I swear this last, that Ronda Rousey package was unbelievably amazing.
It's very well done. It's another example of the home runs that WWE hits with those.
Yes. Yes, it was. All right. Well, everyone enjoy the New Japan Cup. What time is it this morning? Mountain time, at least?
No, it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. So, yeah, it'll be tomorrow, though. It's 21st.
So I think it'll be at like 1 or 2 a.m. I'm not sure what time, but those results will pop down tomorrow, and you'll be able to check it out on New Japan World.
Woo-hoo. Awesome. All right. Well, everyone, thanks for checking in as we are on the road to WrestleMania here at the One Fall Podcast. Make sure you follow us on all our great stuff, One Fall Pod on Twitter, One_Fall_Pod on Instagram. I know that's a mouthful to say, but it's worth a follow. And, of course, follow us on One Fall on Facebook. And until next time, cheers.
Fight for your dreams.
And enjoy the day, people.